Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
I told you it'd be a good first half of the show, and now the second half. Lots of hot news talk. We get into a deep televangelist discussion and some editing going on in Russia, of all places, for Rocket Man. First, let me tell you about teencounseling.com. Connect your 13 to 19-year-old with a licensed professional counselor where they spend their time on their smartphone. Starts with a short questionnaire to help them understand your teen and their needs. Then you're matched with an available therapist to start communicating within 24 hours. You can review their credentials and directly communicate with the counselor to make sure it's a good fit. Easy and free to change if you want another counselor and I think another one's needed or be more effective. More affordable than traditional counseling and financial aid is available. You got to take care of your head, everybody. There's a lot going on in this society. You work out. Now, let's do what's for sitting on the shoulders up there, huh? Visit teencounseling.com/Carolla and to help your teen take charge of their mental health. Adam Carolla Show listeners get 10% off their first month at teencounseling.com/Carolla.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Break. Viral, all those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad. Troubled in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Deep news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
So there is a video that was really making the rounds over the weekend. Things got heated between televangelist Kenneth Copeland and Inside Edition's Lisa Guerrero recently when she confronted the preacher, who was about to board his new Gulfstream V private jet that he purchased from Tyler Perry, about a comment he made about refusing to fly on commercial airlines. The whole thing's 11 minutes, but I just got two very short clips. Here was his first response to the question.
Okay. Again, getting back to the comment, you said that you don't like to fly commercial because you don't want to get into a tube with a bunch of demons. Do you really believe that human beings are demons?
That's what I named my dick, the demon tube.
And don't you ever say I did.
Ooh.
He's terrifying.
Yeah, he's terrifying.
So then...
Doesn't he have a weird grimace after that?
How dare you quote me exactly?
Yeah. he goes from terrifying, piercing eyes to this just butter-melting smile. So after he calmed down a little, this is the answer.
Let me say this for a second. You know what's weird? Steady finger, not as scary as trembling finger.
Oh, yeah.
Even though trembling finger may be palsy or elderly or whatever, but it's still shaking. Yeah. And that means anything could happen in the next 5 seconds. Mm-hmm. Straight finger, that guy's in good shape, but nothing's going to happen. Yeah.
He might have equipped his fingers with laser tips. Like, we have no idea.
Right?
Yeah.
Make it happen.
So after calming down, this is his answer he gave for flying private.
People, I love people. Jesus loves people. But people get pushed in alcohol. Do you think that's a good place for a preacher to be and prepare to go preach to a lot of people when somebody in there is dragging some woman down an aisle? It made me so mad to see that on television. I wanted to punch the guy out myself. I can't be doing that while I'm getting ready to preach.
Well, probably happens on less than 60% of commercial flights where someone is dragged down an aisle by a drunk person or something, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It goes on
it's
and on.
Realistic. Is it a concern?
Yeah.
The ratios are higher than you would expect, Adam.
Just doesn't happen all the time. It doesn't happen.
Yeah. He talks about, he calls her baby, calls her sweetie, prays with her, yells at her. And he drops Tyler Perry's name a lot, which I think Tyler Perry would probably want to distance himself from.
He has a net worth of $760 million. That's more than me and Weird Al combined.
Whoa.
That's a tragedy.
Yeah.
Sadly, a lot of that's from Christie's grandma.
Really?
Oh, no.
Before she passed away, she was a heavy donor to the Kenneth Copeland Foundation.
Really?
Wow.
In her later years, she's very sweet and she's very, very nice. But in her later years, she got into televangelist Kenneth Copeland and would send him large amounts of money.
Well, he thanks her for her service because he's flying pretty nice.
What? How much do you think they went through?
I was never told an amount. All I know it was enough that I think someone had a conversation with her at some point. You know what I mean? Like,
well, that was maybe the inheritance, I imagine.
She was, there was like a trust or something. So it wasn't like literally giving all her money, but it was a significant amount of money.
I am fascinated by many of the things that are still going on in 2019. And televangelism is one of those things where you just thought, if you would ask me in 2004, is this going to be around in 2020? I'd be like, no.
No.
And not.
They don't even call it that now. Guess what they call it?
Hmm.
Prosperity preaching.
Mm.
That's good.
Has a new brand.
So this is basically a religious version of a lottery ticket, which as long as there's poor, desperate people, poor people doesn't mean no money. It means I want more money and I got a dream and this is the way I'm going to get it. So I'm going to watch these guys and give them some money, or I'm going to buy a California scratcher and give the government some money. But either way, you take the dumbest, poorest people and you pray on them.
Well, yeah, and a lot of these televangelists say, you know, every dollar equals a prayer.
You got $10 from half a million people.
Yeah.
He must screw up every once in a while. Like, you have leukemia? I pray on you. I for you. With you.
Over you.
Next to you. Yeah. Not on.
Near you.
Near you.
Yeah.
I don't pray on you. Could I have some money, by the way? But I pray. Sell your wheelchair and give me some money. I pray on for you.
Yeah.
Pray for you.
God, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Yep.
No, this
upgrade
guy's
that
the
wheelchair
light.
To a skateboard.
Look, he's got seven. Does he have more than Tyler Perry? Because I'm still more angry at Tyler Perry for the Madea stuff.
He sold his used jet to him, so I don't know who's on top in that respect.
Oh, yeah. Tyler Perry is about $600
million. Oh.
Take that.
Wow, he's outdoing Tyler.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wow.
Okay.
Mm. Black man can't get a fair shake in this world, man. $600 million.
Needs to start a religion.
Yeah.
See?
Mm-hmm.
So we do have some breaking Jeopardy news.
Hold on.
Yeah.
I was watching the Bob Marley doc, and now it's been a while, but you know how my theory is a lot of religion sort of breaks down to, like, what would a bunch of dudes come up with? Like, well, you know, you're like, well, women, we can't work on this day, and women work, and they take care of us. Mm-hmm. We can take as many wives or lovers as we want, but if they hold some stranger's hand, we can stone them to death.
And
it's like, doesn't sound like there's a lot of women in the room when this is going down. You get the Rastafarian religion. Mm. Oh, man. It's like, we smoke leaf all day, and the women work. We play soccer in the driveway.
Times are good.
That's the way it works. Like, if you break down some of the tenets of that religion, definitely some dudes came up with that one. It was a little more pot-centric, but it was still dudes kind of going, what are the rules?
What do we like? What do we don't like? Let's start from there.
That's good.
Right.
Mm-hmm. All right. James Holzhauer. Everybody knows that name now from Jeopardy.
Oh, that guy.
The guy on the winning streak. I didn't even want to bring this up when I read this morning because it had been leaked, but now it's officially out. The show's running. It's already aired all over the country. So his reign is over. Deadspin reminds us that in reality, he lost a long time ago since the show's taped blocks in months in advance.
Yeah.
But the Monday broadcast shows it is over. Going into Monday's show, he had won 32 straight games, set several single game records. He earned almost $2.5 million. That was just under Ken Jennings' all-time regular. It was $58,000 below Ken.
I'm not sure if this is accurate, but would you guys give up 10% of your pot to say you knocked off Ken Jennings?
Mm.
Like when somebody beat him. I mean, the reason he didn't continue or they didn't continue is because someone beats him, right?
Right, yeah.
All right, so you're like, you know, people are talking about Ken Jennings and being the best and this and that and the other, and you're like, yeah, he was okay. I mean, I made short work of him.
That'd be awesome.
But anyway.
Oh, yeah, of course.
I mean, it just sound cool, right?
Yeah.
You're Buster Douglas.
Yeah.
Oh, Tyson. You're
the new king.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
I guess he was tough in his day, but I took him out.
If you won $21,000 that day, would you give up a percentage? Just to say you beat Ken Jennings.
10 years later, the guy knocked off Ken Jennings.
Yes. I think you could say that anyway. Like, it would take someone fact-checking you to...
That's a good point.
Mm. But also, like, what difference is an extra $1,000 going to make in your life over the course of your life? You can carry that Ken Jennings thing with you forever.
Ooh. Here's where Ken Jennings should, what he should be doing. He should be entering, like, local taco-eating competitions and things like that. And then you just say you're the guy who knocked him off, but you leave the whole Mexican food part right. out of it. Like, yeah, yeah, he came around. Seth, I made sure
Adam
it worked.
Carolla, he beat Ken Jennings.
That's yeah, right. That's right.
That's good.
You wouldn't go, Jennings. What, taco eating or what?
The circumstances are unimportant.
Right. And you get a little signed affidavit with Ken up saying, yes, he's better that day.
That's right. You sure beat me, Adam. Signed Ken.
That's right.
Yeah, the final clue was easy enough that everyone got it, but Holzhauer didn't wager enough to win. And it made me think of you, Adam, because this guy's all about strategy. He's a poker player. That's how he's been dominating. And he wagered so little at the end, it was almost like he was just ready to tap out. That's just my
thinking. What was the clue?
You want to watch it? We have the minute clip.
Here's the clue for you. The line, a great reckoning in a little room in As You Like It, is usually taken to refer to this author's premature death.
Oh,
you have 30 seconds. Good luck.
No come on,
Chaucer. No. The guy who wrote.
Jamie, come to you first. You started slowly.
I'll put it on pause. I know this. No. Put it on pause. Around, you wound up. It's the guy who did the guy who sold his soul to the devil and got killed in a bar.
You're right.
Yeah, who was in Shakespeare in Love?
Marlowe.
Marlowe. Yeah, Kit Marlowe. That's right.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Here we go.
She was also that girl,
which is pretty good.
I knew everything about him.
And you came up with who is Marlowe? Christopher Marlowe. You are correct, sir. And you will add 6,000. That bumps you up to 17,000. You're hoping for bad things, incorrect responses from our champion and from Emma. Over to James now. He had 23,400, and his response was correct. His wager, a modest one for the first time. That takes him to 24,799.
Yeah, and that would be enough to beat
so
the one
Emma,
in first place.
So, Emma, it's up to you. If you came up with a correct response,
she had 26.6.
You're going to be the new Jeopardy
got
champion.
Beat by Chick?
Did you? You
they don't
did.
Even they earn 79 cents or a dollar.
Oh, God. 20,000. What a
oh, God.
Favorite. Oh, God.
Oh, dear God.
Is that somebody who's just trying to tap out, Adam?
It kind of, I do believe a lot of in life of what you get, you're sort of responsible for, like, it's my sort of like, I'm divorced, like, why? I was having an affair with my secretary, my wife found my phone. Where was it? It was on her pillow. You know what I mean? Like, it was up. I had a screen grab of her pussy. And
I actually made her thumbprint.
Yeah. Right.
I texted
access.
It to her. And
yeah. It's like,
I airdropped it to her. Should have done that.
For a guy who was playing the game and betting a lot, doing all that, was leading or second place at the end there, it seemed like a small.
Yeah.
Seemed like he was tired.
Usually they go more obvious, like, hi, Mom, or it's been fun. But yeah, he went real small.
Mm.
That's over.
So what was his total? 250, did
it
you say?
It is 2,462,216.
Did he beat Ken?
No, he's just short. Under Ken by $58,484.
No, so another round
would've
or two.
Done it, probably,
he would have done it. All right, let me hit the LifeLock. Alert Social Security imposter scam, baby. Look out for this stuff. Scammers spoof your caller ID, making it look like the Social Security Administration is calling. They say your Social Security number has been suspended because of suspicious activity or it was used in a crime. There are so many ways cyber criminals can take what's yours, and your personal info is out there. It's exposed. Someone could use it to commit an identity theft crime, steal your stuff. God knows. Thieves are lazy. You don't think of them that way. We think of them as bad, but think of them as lazy. They just want to stay at home and hack all your stuff. They don't want to get bit by a dog and break into your house. Good thing LifeLock Identity Theft Protection adds the power of Norton Security to protect against threats you may not see on your own. Could be on your devices. And if there's a problem, their agents will work to fix it. Right, Dawson?
No one can prevent all identity theft or cybercrime from monitoring transactions at all businesses. But LifeLock with Norton Security can see threats you might miss on your own. Go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LifeLock and use promo code Adam for 10% off your first year. That's promo code Adam at LifeLock.com or 1-800-LifeLock for 10% off.
Can I ask Seth a question real quick?
Yeah.
Because I realized you're probably the only guy they can't make an Austin Powers movie with besides Mike Myers. Are we getting an Austin Powers movie anytime soon?
I haven't heard anything. Did you hear something?
I heard nothing. That's why I'm asking you.
I haven't heard anything.
Okay.
Is Mike Myers weird? Or I've never been able to get a good take on that guy. Like, I can't tell. Like, I here are my thoughts. I got, like, Jim Carrey, Mike Myers, Eddie Murphy. Mm-hmm. Like, these guys are comedic geniuses, but they feel
eccentric.
Not like Will Ferrell.
Yeah.
They feel different. Is there something different about him? I don't even mean in a bad way, but
I had an incredible experience with him. I was a huge fan of his from SNL and Wayne's World, and when we got to work together, he was incredibly cool and generous and went out of his way to make me feel included and make sure that I got compliments that he was given, like made a point of calling me to tell me that the press was responding well to the movie. And I don't know, man, he's just always been great to me. So
wow.
I didn't find him to be too strange. I found him really accessible and cool. But I think when you achieve such significant things, you become a little more picky about what it is that you put out. You know, mm-hmm. So him showing up in Bohemian Rhapsody is kind of a cool nod to Wayne's World,
yep.
or him showing up in Inglourious Bastards, or
right.
You know, I think it's like Macaulay Culkin, where he could just sort of pick and choose what it is he wants, and he's not obligated to play the same game that anyone else is.
Speaking of game, didn't he do that game show where he was completely in character?
He did the Gum
completely.
Show
completely. That was it. Yeah,
which
was,
to me seems so strange, but then you see it, and it's like this incredibly deep character piece.
And
it's,
they didn't acknowledge that it was him, right?
Wasn't not even
right?
in the credits, right?
Did you, are you familiar?
We talked about
yes.
this.
Oh, that's what I was yes. saying. We did talk about it. Yeah.
Yes, yeah. I did not. It's a weird, but back to Jim Carrey, like when they do those stories where it's like he spent 7 hours in the makeup chair to do the Grinch every single day, yeah. show up at 4 a.m. and he'd be in that makeup chair. I'd be like, I'm out. Like, I'm rich. I'm out. I'm but rich and I'm out.
But there's guys that do it from Tim Curry to Eddie Murphy where, you know, physical makeup like that is just a way to really completely embody a character. And anytime I wear any kind of costume or makeup, I find it helps me become a character more convincingly.
I get it. If I'm doing a talk show and they want you in the makeup chair 20 minutes early, I'm like, oh, come on, let's make it 10. Just use the spray thing, would you please? I'll do my hair. But I mean, you hear about hours, like yeah. every morning. Yep. And by the way, the mornings are early. Everyone starts at 8. So if
hours.
You want to be in full makeup, you better get there at 4.
I've done a couple of projects where I had to do a significant makeup process, and it was always challenging. But when you're in it, the effect is inarguable. So as a performer, it just gives you an extra leg up in getting into character.
Yeah. Anytime they go, well, I had to breathe through a straw for a while when they're doing the casting, yeah. I'm out. I'm not a,
well,
I'm not a straw breather.
Not a plaster casting, yeah.
You know, there's some dirty work to get to the effect. I imagine it's like rebuilding a car. You know, the car starts as a junked up piece of crap, and you have to do all of this busy work that takes a long time and can be really uncomfortable or filthy. And at the end of it, you've got a vehicle that runs in the way that you want. So
finally, somebody making a car analogy.
Good, but you can't tell a Mexican to get in a makeup chair at 4 and I'll be tapping you out about 8 a.m. That's the problem. That's where the car analogy falls short.
Unless you get a stunt double to take that costume.
Oh,
right.
Oh.
Do all of the photo doubling.
Yeah. All right, what else we got, Gina Graham?
Well, there was a major upset in the heavyweight division on Saturday. Anthony Ruiz Jr. defeated the formerly undefeated Anthony Joshua in the heavyweight championship fight at MSG. Ruiz was a 9-1 underdog and was a substitute for Joshua's initial opponent. I imagine this was a pretty big deal to you people over the weekend.
You people meaning the Mexicans, but look at these two builds.
Yeah.
That's
Whoa.
What I love.
It's the champion for dad bods everywhere.
And the... So the thing about Joshua is he's built, his physique is freakish. He's a freak, and he's like 6'6". You know, you see guys that are built sometimes, but they're like gymnast size. Mm-hmm. You don't see guys that are 6'6", 6'7", with freakish builds. He's got the freakish builds. The guy who beat him's beyond a dad bod. Yeah. Like when you get when you have side titty... When you have side titty as a dude, that's beyond dad
Before
bod.
Picture.
He's got side titty.
That's King Kong Bundy mid-keto.
But he came in with this destroyer short, so I don't know. That's a bold claim if you're not going to win.
That should have been on the back. Because after the unlimited Tostito platter. No, he's got like side titty and everything. But so I've always said this to guys all the time, which is, stop looking at the guy's physique all the time when it comes to athletic endeavors. And also, there's a genetic thing going on. The Mexican fighters are just smoother guys in general. I think he's the first Hispanic heavyweight. But even when you go to the heavyweight division and you look at like Cain Velasquez in UFC, and then you take a look at... Francis Ngannou or whatever. And it's like one guy just looks like an action figure and the other guy looks kind of smooth.
Austrian.
And if you're like betting, you just go bet on that guy looks like an action figure. But that's not how the fight always turns out at all. which is insane. Mm. It's weird. And we get polluted from watching movies. Every time you watch a boxing movie, the guy's a wrecking machine, you know, mm-hmm. the big muscles and everything. And it helps. But historically, you know, even back to the 70s, like Muhammad Ali was not the guy with the biggest build. Ken Norton was Mike Weaver. I mean, there were guys who were built like Adonises, and they just couldn't get it done. At a certain point, it actually hurts. I think it's like you're too muscular and there's too much blood like pumping to your big arms or whatever it is. For whatever reason, they just can't get it done. But this is an extreme because Anthony Joshua is chiseled out of granite and Andy Ruiz is exceptionally sloppy for a professional athlete.
Yeah. Joshua looks like he's in the Magic Mike show in Vegas.
And the other guy looks like he could be Santa Claus without padding.
Yeah. That's right.
There it is.
That's right.
Well said.
Yeah.
You want to watch a little bit?
Yeah, I saw it. He's just moving toward him, and he's just throwing shorter, rounder punches. And your length, you're getting, by the way, hit on the back of the head. I've been hit on the back of the head hard in a boxing ring a number of times. Everyone looks for the punch on the chin or on the nose or in the face, back of the head.
Is that a rabbit punch?
Yes.
Okay.
And your equilibrium is screwed up for days.
That's the knockout spot in literally every movie or television mm-hmm. show. You just like make hard
karate chop right on the neck.
They go right out.
Right. All right, what else we got?
Well, Radar Online reports that Artie Lang is struggling right now, that he's locked up in a New Jersey jail for failing to abide by the rules of a court-mandated drug program. So according to an insider, the 51-year-old hasn't been sleeping. He's suffering from complications related to diabetes. He was originally arrested for heroin and cocaine possession in March 2017.
I was just listening to a plastic surgeon on Dr. Drew's show talking about reconstructing his nose. Yeah. Which he will do, but he will not do it until he's put together a year of sobriety, because if he goes back, the work is just going to be destroyed by drug use. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, he did not – it's still unclear as to why he's still in jail and kind of what happened this time, but it said he was noncompliant with the program. He was in a halfway house.
He needs to be – you know, we don't like jail for drug abusers, but it's a lifesaver in many instances, and in this instance – I think this is going to save this guy's life.
Hopefully,
he's just got to be locked up. He can't do it on his own. I mean, he's had so many failed attempts.
That's tough. You just want to give him a hug, like he's a longtime good guy and clearly just dealing with his own thing. And it's impossible to make anybody do anything. They've got to be able to do it themselves.
Well, and he's even, when he's called in before, he was pretty vulnerable and said, like, yeah, I hope it works out. I'm trying. Like, I'm pulling for me more than anybody.
He's on the sort of Mount Rushmore of guys you root for. Like, guys that were funny and everyone loved him and he was always great. And he's kind of a Norm MacDonald in that Norm is another super funny guy who doesn't have a substance abuse problem, but he's hard to get that guy going in a direction or to come by, or, you know, people, when he's been on the show, he doesn't drive. So I'm like, I'll teach you how to drive. We'll blow up the internet. We'll put a bunch of cameras in a...
I'd watch that.
Yeah, in a Nissan Leaf, and I'll teach you how to drive.
No, stick him on a manual.
Right. Yeah, I'll put him in a 5-speed. So... And he's like, yeah, all right. And every once a year, like, I go, Norm, let's do it. I'll just come over to your place. We'll get the car and jump in. I'll teach you how to drive.
I'm not going to do that, Adam.
Norm, come on. It's funny. I get tweets every day.
Use social media. He loves it.
Yeah, but first off, it would be lucrative. I think we could get paid.
You could get a lot of legit sponsors for it.
He's just too – you can't wrangle him.
That guy sounds hot.
He's too nuts to wrangle. So in one day, even though he's done a ton of great material, there's so much more there.
Yeah.
The same with Artie. Like, Artie hasn't done comedy in 5 years or whatever it feels like. Anyway, sorry.
Well, the Elton John biopic Rocketman has been sliced and diced by a Russian media company, which cites the country's homosexual propaganda law for doing it. Mm. 5 minutes of gay sex,
really?
Men kissing, all removed. Mm. This has outraged Elton and the filmmakers. Yeah.
I saw the movie.
No?
I was doing a Baldy Bit on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
Can't wait.
What'd you think?
I loved the 5-minute gay lovemaking scene.
Uh-huh.
There's
really
a long gay lovemaking
really?
Scene. Yes, it's graphic.
It looks
really.
Is
it behind the candelabra graphic?
Oh, it's more graphic than that.
Oh, right.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It's as graphic as any man-on-woman lovemaking scene in like modern, you know. They used to have like real lovemaking scenes back in the 80s, you know, before, mm-hmm. you know, DVD and stuff like that. Sure. But like now it's pretty sanitized. It's about as good as it gets.
Really?
Okay. If you're gay, which I'm not, that's okay.
Well, the Russians are not down, and it's outraged Elton. He says, we reject in the strongest possible terms the decision to pander to local laws and censor Rocket Man for the Russian market, a move we were unaware of until today. The Russians also removed a slide before the credits of Elton and his husband and their kids. A similar thing happened, remember, during Bohemian Rhapsody in China. They took out a few things as
what
well.
What year is it? Again.
2019.
Can't
the
we just,
slide of him with his adopted kids?
Yeah, with his family.
Can we just use this as sort of a measuring stick as to what countries we can deal with and what countries we can't deal
nice.
With? Like, that's so many.
I'd say that, but we're pushing some pretty backwards ideology across our own country right now, too.
Yeah, but we're not that. I mean, that's bad.
We're not that.
And it's a kind of a Mason Dixon line. Get really said there with the dicks with Cena K, but there's one like this is the one thing all these countries agree on: gay bad, right? Like they have many different thoughts about many different things, but they do agree on this.
Yeah.
And it's sort of where we would have been at some years
half
ago,
a century
like
ago.
Yeah, where like everyone was there. So there's it's not like. Well, culturally this and culturally that, because China and Russia are pretty far apart. Culturally, it's evolved versus not evolved.
Right.
So
yeah, it's also making laws and legislation that prevents people from being together or loving who you want to love.
Yeah, I'm just saying if you took a look at certain, you know, you could sort of argue that with pot or maybe even legalized prostitution. Like if you go to some of these countries in Europe and you go, oh, they have prostitution, but it's regulated, it's whatever, and they have marijuana bars mm-hmm. you could go to and you go, all right, they're ahead of us. Like right. so they're it's like right. it's an evolvement. It's not pot versus gay versus prostitute. It's a sort of general evolvement.
Lifting,
and maybe the Netherlands is above us and maybe China and former
Russia.
Soviet
mm-hmm.
Union below us, but it'd be nice if they just sort of looked at it. It's like, don't you, you know, it was like, it's like we had drinking fountains for black and white. And then at some point we went, well, how long is that going to last? Like, not a good plan. And we kind of pushed past it. It should be a goal.
That would be nice. It's funny that you mentioned
that. Go to Russia and give them that speech.
Yeah. It's funny that you mentioned that about prostitution and weed, you know, and going to Amsterdam, because I didn't bring this in because I didn't think it mattered. But now that you say that, there was an article I read today, I think on CNN, that Amsterdam would like us all to leave. It is over all the tourists. They're overrunning the cities and the neighboring cities because we're just all so fascinated with the weed and the prostitutes and all that stuff. They'd like us to knock it off.
Well, my rebuttal to Amsterdam is I've walked that red light district and I've seen some of those ladies in the window and they're taking up a lot of glass these days. That ain't what I had in mind when I was in high school. So I don't know if I took a wrong turn. Dawson, you were with me, right?
Yeah, we went at 9 o'clock in the afternoon, though. That's not when.
You don't hit the day shift.
You've got to go out there.
Yeah, we hit the buffet crowd there. That was a tough putt, man. We must have walked down the Husky Alley or something, but there were some rough chicks.
It was rough.
I wasn't even sure some of them were chicks.
Easy fix for all of the windows in on the red light district. Funny glass. Just curve it just a little bit.
Oh, like, carnival glass.
Or get a hotter 19-year-old runaway and shove her in there.
What's going to be easier? The funny glass or finding the hot runaway?
I don't know, but this ugly American kept walking and at a hurried pace. Dawson, you were with me. We're like, we're angry about the halva we had. They gave us halva. It's basically sand
Why
with
they
honey
give
in it.
Halva in the Netherlands. It's Middle Eastern.
I think it was to distract us against the fat chicks in the red light district. But anyway, Amsterdam, we have our own prostitutes here, and they're in much better shape. They don't look like Andy Ruiz.
Take that.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Well done. Mm. So Forbes has announced that Jay-Z...
First Hispanic heavyweight, I think.
Oh, there you go.
Damn.
Well, look, Mexicans love boxing, but they're like middleweights. they're just not heavyweights. Mm-hmm. And they had a couple along the way that like got close, but this is their first Hispanic heavyweight. That's a big deal.
One for one.
For a group that loves boxing.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Forbes announced Jay-Z is the first billionaire rapper. The rapper is also a streaming music mogul, a sports management company owner, and, of course, Beyonce's husband. So here's a breakdown of the various businesses that Jay-Z, Sean Carter, either has stakes in or owns. $70 million in Uber, his ownership of the streaming service Tidal. $70 million, he has a $70 million art collection. His ownership of the Rock Nation sports management company.
I'm not into the
in holdings, real
not
estate.
Into the wealth redistribution. But I would be for rich people not being allowed to marry other super rich people.
Yeah.
Don't find a poor
spread
guy.
Around, yeah.
Yeah.
I have what she's worth if you'd like to guess.
Yeah. See, this is a crime.
Combined
they're
empires.
Both so rich and they just get together and it's, you know.
It's not fair.
I like them together.
I like them together too, but
not their money.
Bang her on the side and go get one of those chicks in the window in Amsterdam and marry her. You know what I mean? Make a difference.
Yeah. Sure.
You know, because Beyonce was, she didn't change her bracket.
No.
What's she got?
She's $355 million.
And what's he at?
Well,
oh, he's a billion.
At a billion with all of his other holdings. So, by the way, if this sounds weird, because I know I'm going to get tweeted about this, back in 2014, music mogul Dr. Dre claimed that he was the first hip-hop billionaire, but because he sold Beats. Remember when that whole thing went through? But after taxes, it pushed him just under a billion. Aww. So he didn't actually make the cut.
Yeah.
Forgot about Dre.
Yeah.
Well done.
All right. Let me hit Tommy John, then we'll do one more. Mm-hmm. Quick draw fly saves guys 217 minutes of fumbling per year. It's been documented. So whether it's your dad, your brother, your husband, give them the gift of comfort this year at Father's Day. Tommy John, lightweight, breathable fabric, beautiful. Beautiful outdoorsy prints, perfect for dad. Exclusive Father's Day gift sets featuring loungewear, apparel, and additional underwear styles. The stuff's the best. Everything they make is great. It's like, you know, when Porsche makes a mountain bike, you know, it's going to be great. When Tommy John makes a dress shirt, you know, it's going to be great. The underpants are great. The undershirts are great. It's all great. And you grab the gift sets early. The limited edition collections always sell out. Tommy John. No adjustment needed, right, Dawson?
Go to TommyJohn.com/Adam for 20% off your first order. Find out how you can get free expedited shipping and guaranteed Father's Day delivery on orders placed by June 12th. That's TommyJohn.com/Adam for 20% off. TommyJohn.com/Adam.
All right.
That's impressive to watch live, by the way. I thought that was compressed.
People like it.
Bravo.
Yeah.
One more, Gina.
All right. Well, you did say you would like to, somebody should challenge Ken Jennings to an alternative contest. And I think I have one for you. Hmm. For the second year in a row, Darren Breeden in Orange, Virginia has won the Acme World Oyster Eating Championship. There is video. It is gross. Mm. You're welcome to watch.
Does he have to shuck the oysters or just eat
I think
them?
They're just shoveling them in and it is hard to watch.
Ew. Look, I can't watch it, but
No.
But oysters are disgusting anyway.
Wow. Not that I'm comparing the two, but he better go down on his wife at least once a week because he has no excuses at this point.
If you as a viewer pretend that that's just sort of slightly melted ice cream, it's a little less offensive.
Nice.
Yeah.
Dolly's dripping clocks. So he ate 44 dozen oysters in the competition. And guess how much he won? Remember, we're talking billion. We're talking $335 million. Beyonce, he won $2,000.
Well, the guy really needs the paydays, the rooter service who has to come out to that guy's trailer home and get out the snake the following morning because he's destroyed the place.
If there's, say, 10 dudes up there and they each average, 38 dozen oysters each, there's got to be a few bad oysters in there.
The first number is so hard, and then you add dozen to the end of it. I'm just like, I'm so out.
Yeah.
He ate 38. No! Dozen.
No!
I still don't get it. I know everyone tells me you take them, you put the Tabasco, you slide them, swallow them. You just swallow them. And I'm like,
why?
So are we on an island and we need sustenance? Like, no, we're the Red Lobster in Encino. Okay, well, give me the grilled halibut. Then.
And if they're so great, then why do people say, oh, you cover it in horseradish and sauce and lemon? You won't even know the difference. Then why am I eating it?
Gina, you're 100% right. The only way you can deal with the taste of an oyster is to cover it in horseradish and Tabasco and all
What's the point?
Super pungent flavors.
Yeah. Horseradish and the Tabasco are sort of the maritime version of bacon. Bacon is land-based covering. Right. Like, you don't like liver? You're going to wrap it in bacon. And then you'll, because it kind of tastes like bacon now, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and so every time I have somebody telling me that, although maybe it's the culinary version of The Wire, where like you go, I haven't seen The Wire. You haven't seen the Oh. Come on.
Never, not one
you.
Episode?
I like you specifically. Like they made it for me and then no one, I never
of
watched
anybody.
It. Yeah,
of anybody.
Yeah, you would love The Wire. Like I feel that way where I go, I don't want to waste it. You, oh, no, come you on. Got, you'd love it. Yeah. It's great. It's the best. It's like, I don't know if it's the best. How come no one ever takes it to work for lunch? I mean, and then
it, you don't get it delivered.
You douse it and everything. And then at a certain point, you just slide it. You just.
Yeah. Gross.
I bet you Chris likes oysters.
No, of course he does.
Maybe people just enjoy the process.
I think so.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm in that oyster line half the time.
Yeah, but you're in the caviar line.
Yeah, well, they're next to each other.
He likes the finer things.
And you do eat the tail of the shrimp as well.
Yeah.
Which I enjoy.
I know you enjoy. You give me all your tails.
You take Max and Pat out to eat. You get shrimp. And then when you're done, you just feed him the tail.
Like a seal.
All right.
Yeah.
It's no waste, you know?
Like in the Blues Brothers.
Use the whole part of the animal.
Yeah. Whole buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
Where are you on oysters, Seth?
That's not my thing.
Okay. Yeah. So we're all in agreement.
I'm not huge on seafood. I have a couple of allowances, but most of it is not. I don't like it.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's the worst. The worst is I've kind of grown into some lobster and some shrimp and stuff like that. And I was always just into, I'll have a piece of salmon or something like that. But when I shared an office with Danny Two Sheets Kellison and Jimmy Kimmel, their idea of seafood was taking a pier pylon and scraping it onto their plate. Like there's, you know, sort of missionary version of seafood. That's my version of seafood.
Shrimp,
and then there's dry anal rape, which is what those guys do. Like just junk, just weird snails and stuff. And we love it. We love it. I'm like, how can you love it? It's a salty mess. Oh, more squid ink on that. Yeah. Like, why? Yeah. What?
We've just been sifting the bottom of this trench, and now I've got a lunch.
Right.
bottom feeders.
But I do notice that some people get a little more momentum when you go, I'm not.
You haven't lived.
Yeah. No one. What is that?
I don't know, man. I'm like my seafood a little more straightforward.
Yeah, I'm not.
I want to be challenged by my food.
Well, I'll tell you, everything else just tastes super salty and has
briny
and has a weird texture to it. That's my take on the deep cuts.
Some people love exactly that. I usually find the thing that turns me off about food is exactly what someone who's pushing it on me loves the most.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's the very thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like somebody hawked a loogie in your mouth and then put Tabasco on your tongue.
And then it's just the way they spin it. It can either be like, it was ew, just like they hawked a loogie. Or it could be like, it was exactly like that. You know, that's the best.
Yeah. And also, it's twice as much as the fish and chips, which you would enjoy the shit out of, right? Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's bring it home.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Gina Grad. That was the news with Gina Grad.
Sklar Brothers are coming on tomorrow.
Oh, they're great.
They're such nice guys.
They're so fun.
It's weird that they're both equally as funny and nice.
One of them's nice.
There's no good cop, bad cop.
One of them's nice. I'm not going to say which one, but it's one of them.
Does he wear glasses?
I'm going to be at the Denver Comedy Works doing stand-up June 14th and 15th.
It's sunny opening,
Sunny's going to be out there, and we're going to be having a good time. So go to amcroll.com for all that. My special's over at Chassis, and so are all the movies. Watch the 24-hour war, because now they're dropping this Ford v. Ferrari business, and that's essentially...
Get yourself prepped.
Yeah, get prepped. Seth Green, watch his movie, Changeland, in theaters and on VOD this Friday, June 7th. Seth wrote and directed and stars in it, and it's all shot in Thailand. It's got a bunch of cool names in it. Seth, always nice to see you, my friend.
You too. Thanks, Adam.
And... until next time, good sports coming up next. It's Adam Carolla for Seth Green and Gina Grad and Ball Bryan saying mahalo. Gay bad.
Stick around. Today's episode of Good Sports with Dave Damashek and Adam Carolla is coming right up.
Shecky, let's do it. Good sport. Podcast One Sports Network presents Good Sports.
Hi and hello, sports fans. Welcome to a brand new episode of Good Sports. Dave Damashek here, Adam Carolla over there. Ace, we jumped in on who Sonny Boy is rooting for in the NBA Finals. We have the puck is nearly wrapped up between the Bruins and the Blues. And one thing that occurs to me, or a couple of things, as a matter of fact, that occur to me about the traditions of big-time sports is, have you ever noticed in college basketball, and it's a cool tradition too, when a team goes to the Final Four or wins the championship, they get the ladder out and they all cut the net down. The coach gets up there. It's very egalitarian. Everybody gets a piece and everybody gets the cut. Everybody contributed to it. NBA, why don't they do that? Why don't they do the net cutting thing? It's such a cool little... Wouldn't you want, if you won the NBA title, yeah, here's my little piece of the net, my little memory. Why would they cut that off in college, not the pros?
I don't know. Maybe they do a ceremonial version of it like I was forced to do with my kid's umbilical cord in the locker room.
That's the same thing.
I should be suing that hospital right now. Are you amazed at the lack of information in the day of information, like with computers and emails and texts, like how, like I was watching, somebody was sending me a thing, said, oh, Matt Damon, who's playing Carroll Shelby in the Ford versus Ferrari movie, he went on a lap with Mario Andretti at the Indy 500 in the two-seater, you know, formula car, the Indy car, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh, yeah, I did that for the Indy 500 a couple of years ago. And when I walked up to the car, they were like, what helmet size are you? And I was like, I don't know. I have a helmet at home, but I don't know what size it is. And he's like, oh, I wonder if we have one that'll fit. And I'm like, I don't know. I feel like we worked this out in an email months ago. Like there could have been some discussion on, give me your helmet size.
So true. You would think it would be an exacting requirement. Not like, close enough. Get in the car going 200.
Yeah, I could have looked inside one of my helmets and found the tag that said what size it was. But I just feel like information is kept kind of weirdly and close to the vest. Oh, and I can't remember what we were talking about.
With the umbilical cord.
Oh, the umbilical
they do,
cord.
Do it. Two dozen times daily, that there's not some stance. There's not some. When you go to the public pool, there's a list of seven things that you can and can't do. But in the delivery room, there's not just a standardized list like, hey, careful, before you grab them scissors, make sure you get it in the sweet spot, because if we go up too high, your kid's going to have an Audi and you're going to be to blame.
Well, the also thing they don't tell you is you're not cutting the umbilical cord as you know it. You're cutting it in a ceremonial fashion 5 feet to the other side of the bed in some sort of ribbon cutting ceremony. Like, sort of like, you know, the mayor and the GM of the new plant are in a three-piece suit turning over soil, and then they hand the shovel to a Mexican and they go, so get to work.
And they kind of stretch it out for you. They hold it from both sides,
yeah,
kind of
thing. It's weird, but so when they say to you, they go, do you want to cut the umbilical cord? I go, no, I don't want to be involved with the process. You know, they go, everyone does it, you know, and I go, I don't want to do it. And they go, you're going to be sorry. And
I love you arguing with the doctors and nurses. I'm not doing it. I don't want to be.
But everyone...
paying you to do that.
If they said, do you want to do it after it's already initially been cut in a sort of ceremonial, you know, gesture that's not, you're not involved with the process. I still, by the way, would have said no, because had nothing to do with anything. But I kept saying no because I don't want to be involved with the procedure, because, of course, that's how it was playing out in my head. I didn't know it was the ceremonial version of it. And I always wonder why more people, especially when it comes to things like that, you know, I'm not a blues singer. I don't have 66 kids. This is my first rodeo. How about you fucking tell me you're not going to be involved? You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
All right.
And no, that's a great point. But I was asking about the Nets.
The Nets.
So,
oh, yeah.
So there's that. And then this leads me to the other event from last week. I don't know if you
they
saw.
They should cut it down. I agree with you. Maybe.
It's cool. It's a, like, it's a fun kind of moment with a, you know, a bit of celebration.
I agree. And then someone gets to put it around their neck.
Yeah. So whoever. Yeah. The lucky guy who, like, I don't know what the what rules they are that, like, I get the part that's still all connected and I'm going to wear it as my necklace until I let you know otherwise. But you saw last week, did you see the woman's ceremonial first pitch? You know, and she threw it into the cameraman and it was awful.
Yeah.
And as I say all the time, and Gary behind the glass, maybe you can dig this up, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's ceremonial first pitch at the LA Coliseum in an exhibition game against the Red Sox a number of years ago where the Dodgers first played when they moved from Brooklyn to LA is a weird place. Kareem's a professional athlete. And so this is by far the worst one ever because he's one of the all-time greats in a professional sport. And this throw, wait till you see it. But anyhow, the larger question I have for you is, why only in basketball do we have this? In baseball do we have this? What
first
would be
pitch.
The basketball equivalent? I guess in puck, they have a guy come out and they'll have him drop it for a ceremonial face-off. What would be the football equivalent?
The football equivalent, well, they do the coin toss one.
Yeah, I guess so.
Which I had a situation, again, in a vacuum of information. I was supposed to go out at a UCLA game and flip the coin for them playing like Arizona State or something. And at some point, they just like get you and they go, come on, we're going out. And
I was there with you.
Yeah,
that was Washington. Yeah. That was against the Huskies.
They like trot you out on the field. And then at some point, like the ref goes, who are you? And then I go, I don't know. This is all the guy. Well, you're not supposed to be whatever.
Where are your scissors? How are you going to cut the umbilical cord out here at midfield?
It was a weird scene that was wildly uncomfortable, and I'm not
That's
sure.
That's another weird one. This game counts. These people have been practicing for months on end. Is there anything I need to know about the coin flip? Nah, just do it. That's.
I can't remember all the nuts and the bolts. I just remember everyone I was on the field with had no idea what I was doing there and wanted to know why I was there. All right, we'll see Kareem throw out the first pitch. He's on the mound, I'm guessing.
Yes, he's out there on the mound. Again, one of the all-time greats.
Oh, he brought a mitt.
What the hell? He throws it about 11 feet and halfway between home plate and the first baseline. Then he
Oh, he did a sky hook.
Then he makes a sky hook and everybody laughs and cheers, but that doesn't forgive the shame that he's brought to his sport. I mean, he's representing the NBA there. He can't throw a ball? That's weird, isn't it?
Yeah, although the sports thing, as I always say, it never translates. It never
You're kinda
carries
right about
over
that.
Charles Barkley playing golf. Every time every time I've done one like a celebrity race and I had an MMA fighter or something, they're always the slowest and the worst.
I've seen some NFL running backs like just playing catch before a game and you're like, that's how you throw a ball? You're a football player? That's how you throw a ball? Yikes.
There is a lot of that, and there's a lot of it not translating. Greatest athletes in the world. We're just watching Charles Barkley like, hit an insane golf shot. Like,
I get it. Brett Favre probably can't go out on the ice and score on a slapper. But, I mean, but you would think that it would translate to some degree.
In a weird way, maybe even less than a young Dave Dameshek or a young Adam Carolla, because we were forced, it was dictated that we play all sports,
yeah,
depending on what the weather and the season and your friends and the neighborhood and whatever. I would have happily played football all through the season, but Pop Warner season was from September to December, and then it was time to start thinking about baseball.
Right.
That's just what we did. So I got the glove, and we just have to go out there, and that's what you did. So Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was probably steered toward basketball from 11 on and probably didn't have the full fruit salad and the cornucopia of different experiences with sports that we had.
I hear your noise. It's interesting. Mm-hmm. Maybe for football, I was going to say a field goal or something like that. They bring the celebrity out and let them try to kick one from like 25 or something. But better yet, what if they got to try to tackle or be tackled? You get to choose. I either get to tackle your star running back, or I try from like the 5 yard in, you pitch it out to me, and I'm going to see if I can get around J.J. Watt. You know?
Yeah.
Or I don't get around him. That'll be exciting for the fans out there gathered around. Anywho, thus ends another good sports. But first, let me tell you about True Car. And it will only take me 60 seconds because that's how long this commercial is going to last. And that is also, as it happens, how long it will take you to get an offer for your car. All you have to do, go to True Car for your with your smartphone or your computer, enter your license plate number, and watch your car's details pop up. Answer, do they still make, by the way, like the details, do they still make, I was wondering, in 2019, cars that have manual windows, Ace?
No.
No such car exists?
There's probably a few trucks, but even then, I don't know.
Do they make them with lighters anymore?
They make them to charge your phone, but not
you
with
can't,
no
like,
lighters.
You can't, like, light a cigarette
no,
anymore?
I don't think
Isn't that
so.
Interesting? In our lifetimes, some of the things we've seen come and go. Anyhow, those are details that you will not find, but anything that is available in a car that you want, you will find it with True Car. All you have to do is answer a few questions, and you'll get an accurate True Cash offer from a local True Car certified dealer. Then bring your car over. They'll check it out with you, ask you some questions. You'll get the answers. No surprises. Then leave with your check or trade in your car for a new ride. So when you're ready to experience a better way to sell or trade in your car, check out True Car today. And now that is the end of good sports for today. We'll be back with more Hooey and Applesauce for you later on. Or in fact, it'll be tomorrow. For now, for Adam Carolla, Dave Damaschek, Good Sports Out.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow us on the Twitter at Adam Carolla. You can leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. Subscribe to Take a Knee for a weekly dose of inspiration and motivation. Click on the link at adamcarolla.com. For tickets and info on all the live podcasts, Mangry events, books, movies, and more, go to adamcarolla.com and stay tuned for AP News.